When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday, and I do mean happy Friday. Oh, that was fun. That was so much fun. Today on the radio show, we have Jason Smith in the next segment. We'll talk to Jason. I think they're wrapping it up today. I was wondering if you were going to do that. So we got Jason. They had Penny Hardaway on with him yesterday, and I think Jason arranged that. I thought he was Penny was great, and he was urging people to get to tomorrow's game against Mississippi State, and I second that. So we'll talk to Jason in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll, of course, talk to him about the Grizzlies going on, the fabulous goings-on at FedEx Forum. And then are we doing Jeffrey's Bets, Jeffrey? We're doing an abbreviated playoff version, right?
You really think that
I of course we are. Of course we are.
It's the first ever college football
of course
playoff.
We are. It is the first. You know, and it occurs to me.
12-team playoff, I should say.
It occurs to me. It hasn't gotten.
I'm actually offended at the question.
It hasn't gotten as much attention. Like, leading up to the NFL playoffs or Super Bowl week, what happens? Week long, all we talk about, not we really.
Here, I know what you mean.
All the country talks about is that. It's the Zeitgeist. That's it. Perfect. This is kind of weird. It doesn't feel like, there's an awareness that it's out there and that it's coming and that it's big and that it's historic, and obviously in Knoxville and other places, it may be different, but it's not. Isn't it? Is a little weird to you that the windup hasn't been more?
No, because I think it
momentous this week.
No, most people that cover the sport don't want to say these two things are true. Number one, they got it right in terms of the teams that are in based on their selection process, right. But the matchups are not that good. They could have had better matchups. Much more, many more people would be like
these same teams.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, Penn State versus Alabama, everybody be into it.
I see.
If it's,
I still don't think we'd be talking about it all week. I don't really think that's it.
I mean, I think if, I don't know.
There's no question. If you had Alabama in here, it would be Alabama.
But I think
is,
like, if it were like Ole Miss, Texas, if it were Alabama, Penn State, like I think if all those teams were in it, I think it would be much. I think locally in this area, it'd be a much bigger deal.
That may be. I mean, in the end, the Vols are in it. So, but anyway, so it is. We got that. It is momentous, and I'm absolutely looking forward to it. Tonight, we got Indiana against Notre Dame, which I love. And maybe some people don't, but I love that. Like, they've only played once since 1955 or once since 1958, and there they are occupying the same state. How delicious is that? So anyway, and you have a chance for.
I don't think you're going to enjoy the game.
You have a chance for Indiana to prove it's not a fraud.
Yeah, and they won't.
There's a foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey's going to give us his picks in that segment. So that is the lineup. I'll remind you, by the way, that if you are flying, I was reading this in the Daily Memphian, this is the busiest day of this season, of this Christmas season.
So 5 days
season.
Before Christmas?
This is, well,
or the Friday. Okay.
Because most people are off next week. I mean, a lot of people are off next week, or they're taking off, or whatever. And it honestly lines up well if you are traveling over Christmas and the holidays. Wednesday is perfect because a lot of people that you're off Thursday and Friday and then the next Saturday and Sunday too.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
There are a lot of people that are going to turn this into a 10-day holiday.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes sense. Like, it falls perfectly for that. So, but anyway, today at the airport, 8,000 people will go through, are anticipated to go, roughly 8,000 people will go through the airport. Tell me what day is the second busiest day of the season, and what day is the third busiest day of the season? When are people flying?
So I'm going to say Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Well, not Thanksgiving. Oh, no. I think we're talking about the Christmas season.
Okay.
I think that's what we're talking about. This is just around this particular holiday.
The 26th?
26th is third.
Okay.
I think that makes a lot of sense because a lot of people are, whatever, they did what they did for Christmas and then they're either headed off or they're coming back, right? Weirdly enough, the other really, the second most,
23rd?
The second busiest day is Sunday.
Okay.
Why? Why Sunday? Why not, like, if you're leaving, why not
theory?
Saturday?
It used to be that Sunday flights were cheaper, but that don't think that's
Sunday.
The case anymore.
It's Sunday. Today's the busiest, Sunday's the second busiest, and then the 26th is the third busiest. And I will remind people, this has been my experience at the airport recently. If you go super early, you might be inclined to tell yourself, oh, it's super early, I'll beat the crowds. No, that is when...
Because every airline has a flight that leaves at like 7.
Right. Yeah, yes. That is when... And we are no longer a hub, so they're not connecting all
Correct.
Day long. They're just like getting the hell out of here. So the airport recommends that if you arrive between... That if you have a flight between 4 and 7 a.m., that you get to the airport, having parked, etc., 2 hours in advance, which
yep.
is not my typical approach to getting to the Memphis airport. I like to get there 1 hour in advance, but they're recommending 2 hours in advance. And here's the other issue, particularly if you're today's the busiest day, and you know what that means? The lots are going to be full.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're not going to have a place. If you fly, if you're one of these people.
This is where I just go straight to the roof.
Well, I go straight to the roof, but I always park on the roof, honestly. That way I never know. I always know where my car is.
Yeah.
But if you. And we don't have all these shuttle places anymore that we used to have.
Yeah.
So the damn lots are going to be full, and you're going to be driving around and driving around. If you're one of these people flying on the 26th, the second busiest day, good luck to you. So anyway, keep all of that in mind. That's the lineup, and that's my advice. But, you know, I wrote a column last week about what a great moment it is for Memphis and extended Tennessee, if you want to wrap in the Vols here. Sports. And you know what? Since then, it's only gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, that was last week when the Tigers were ranked, the Tiger football team was ranked, Tiger basketball team was ranked, and the Grizzlies looked like they were heading to the playoffs, were second in the West. And since then, Tiger football team went ahead and won its 11th game, beating a Power 4 opponent and securing a spot in the top 25. We can argue and have back and forth about whether it's good or good minus or good plus or whatever it else, but it ain't bad. And it's top 25. So there you go.
Define the season.
Let's have that argument again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but that it's all, whatever it was last week, it's only better after another win, right?
Agreed.
Whatever it was, only better after another win. Tiger basketball? Thank you, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Tiger basketball? Since we had that conversation, they go on the road, they beat Clemson and Virginia. You know, people were looking at this collection of four games, and they're like, well... In fact, did I offer you 2-2 and you accepted? What did you? And you accepted.
I did.
Now would you accept 2-2?
No.
No.
Does that mean they lost two home games?
That means they lost two home games. Yeah, no, absolutely not. And so they continue, and now they're winning in different ways, not just hitting three-pointers. We had Penny's coming on the radio promoting the...
They won games missing three-pointers.
Missing three-pointers. Penny coming on the radio promoting the team. We got a massive game tomorrow at FedEx Forum. And so Tiger basketball is
Jeff, rolling. I don't know if you heard this. There's a national TV audience.
And a national TV audience. That's on CBS, right?
Indeed.
CBS 11:30 tip. Get yourself down to FedEx Forum. And then last night, oh my God, last night was fun.
Something happened?
Last night, they're playing Whoop That Trick. Whoop That Trick in December.
Yeah.
What an unbelievably fun, sweet, whatever you want to call it. Performance by your Memphis Grizzlies as they beat the Warriors.
Justice, maybe?
As they beat the Warriors by 51 points. At one point, the Warriors' Twitter account.
I saw you retweet this.
Tweeted out. Who hit the three?
Was it Wiggins?
Wiggins?
I think it was Wiggins for three.
Wiggins hits a huge three to to cut the lead to 36.
Correct.
Have you no self-respect? Talk about soft.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about soft. And, of course, this is...
That'd be a good take for Draymond. Is the Warriors' Twitter account making them soft?
This comes in the wake of course, Draymond Green pronouncing that Taylor Jenkins objecting to a foul on Zach Edey was, quote-unquote, making the Grizzlies soft. And the Grizzlies showed just how soft with a stunning, stunning...
May I read my favorite stat line of the night?
Well, I was going to ask you what your favorite stat of the night is. For me, one of my favorite stats of the night was Pete Pranica with a third quarter hammer nail coffin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a complicated stat. It's not like really analytics, but it is Pete Pranica, and he's very conservative.
Sometimes it's like you went 3 for 4 with 3 home runs. You don't really need a whole lot
sometimes
more.
Sometimes Pete Pranica, he's very cautious. Conservative.
I believe his stat is he has never said hammer nail coffin and the result flipped.
100%. Right. Yep. 100%. So, he's got to be very judicious. And there he was in the third quarter, hammer nail coffering. And then you have the other stat of whoop that trick being played in December. What was, Jeffrey, your favorite stat?
I'm just going to go. I want to say my favorite stat line.
Stat line.
From the field, 0 for 4.
Mm-hmm.
From 3, 0 for 1. No free throw attempts. No offensive rebounds. No defensive rebounds. 4 personal fouls. 4 turnovers. A plus minus of a game low minus 42.
Minus 42. That
would be the one, the only, Draymond Green.
Who?
What an overrated basketball player.
The worst plus minus by a player who played fewer than 20 minutes. The minus 42. The worst plus minus by any player playing fewer than 20 minutes. Since they started keeping the stats.
Since it's on record. We don't have a database.
You cannot find correct. A player who played fewer than 20 minutes who was able to rack up anything more disgraceful than a minus 42.
I hate that. What a defensive stalwart.
Green. Draymond Green, of course.
The engine.
He was minus 42. Steph, minus 41. Just unbelievable. Steph, minus 41. Draymond minus 42. They combine for 2 points and no field goals. If you are a Warriors fan, if you're a Steph fan.
I saw lots of them out last night. We went to the rendezvous.
Would you get a rendezvous?
Rib brisket combo.
Rib brisket combo. Yeah. And?
Last night was like I had tears in my eyes. it was that good.
So, how are you feeling about this?
In general?
Literally, you go see Steph, you save up your pennies.
I mean,
maybe
if I know Warriors fans
Christmas
like I think
present,
they are, they're in denial. And they're just going to sit there and go, it's a December game. Who cares?
Don't see him. Well, I mean, it is true. In the end, the meaning of this game is not, like, what you actually can, if you're a Warriors fan, flush this, right?
You are an older roster, so therefore, like, you know, with it being an older roster, you're like, all right, just got to get to the playoffs.
Oh, God. That game will not matter if the Grizzlies and Warriors play in the playoffs, but my God, it was fun. It reminded me of, there are moments, and for the Bills, it was a playoff game, but was it 2 years ago when the Bills played New England in the playoffs and just absolutely eviscerated them? And there are moments when you just have to,
I think it's 3 years ago. I think it's 2021.
You just have to glory in what you've observed. Just glory in the moment. Glory in the humiliation.
It's definitely 2021 because it was Mac Jones. Mac Jones led them to the playoffs as a rookie. It was 2021.
And then after the game, and you can read about this in Drew Hill's piece over at the Daily Memphian, the Grizzlies took the high road.
Mm.
You know, that even sweeter.
They won with class.
They, you know what they did? They won with class.
Yeah.
How about that? And they were great. Did you have a favorite moment? We'll play the highlights here in a second. Did you have a favorite moment? Was it when
the problem was there were so many there
Draymond
were,
and
Jaws
and
blocked.
Draymond gets a.
But there were a couple of Santi putbacks or like the flushies where Draymond just didn't block out. Like it was amazing. They were so lazy. They were so, they quit. Like they, that's what, that was a, just a championship mentality of quitters.
It was just 144 to 93.
I was a little scared at first they weren't going to win by 50.
Let's revel in it a little more through the wordsmithing of one Eric Hasseltine. Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to hear a lot of is threes. You're going to hear a lot of threes because the Grizzlies hit 27 of them. 27 of them. 11, I don't know if we'll hear from all 11 players who hit threes. Yeah, I'm looking at this list. Wells is on it.
I think we're most of them.
We got most of them. Let's fire up the first two.
So the Grizzlies will start with it. They go left to right from our vantage point. Bane around a screen from Edie. Launches a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Desmond Bane gets it going early as the Grizzlies strike first and hit a long ball right there.
Basically, Schroeder, that was it.
Pressured in the backcourt by Ja Morant.
Yep. Ball game.
That was ball game. Next.
Morant hands it off Bane right wing. Into the lane he comes. Tries an up and under move at Wiggins. Kicks to the corner left for Wells. Three on the way. Ring it up. Put three more on the board. Grizzlies strike first with back-to-back threes.
Yeah, Desmond Bane got away with a travel right there.
100%.
Came down. But, hey, 2 3-pointers, 2 shots off the top of this game. Great start for the Grizzlies so far.
Look at Mike Cech being honest there. Look at the integrity of that broadcast, you know?
Yes.
Wells, by the way, was a nifty 3 of 4 from three, 5 of 6 from the field, and they stuck him on Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Just go chase Steph. You're drafted in the second round. You're a rookie drafted in the second round. We're going to put you on Steph. See how that goes.
Except they call that cat coverage.
Steph does not get a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a second round pick. All right, next.
Here's a four-knuckle left-hand sandwich. Here's Wiggins around a screen. The 15-footer rattles in and out on the left side of the floor. Lead out ahead. Wells is ahead of the pack. He'll go to the rim and jam with two hands as he slowed down enough to get Draymond Green by him. Jaylen Wells was 5 quick points.
Good D, buddy.
8-0 run.
Yes, Jaylen Wells is aggressive for sure, man. He's looking for his offense. Good job so far.
As he is stifling Steph, let's crank up the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 threes in a row here. Let's hear those.
Picked up by Aldama, looking for Steph Curry. Sets a screen. Curry on a drive to the baseline. Cross-court feed gets deflected. Morant taps it away from Wiggins, and it's picked up by Bane. Bane ahead for Aldama. Aldama into the left corner for Wells. Wells working it in on Schroeder. Gives back to Bane. Left corner, catch and shoot three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Tough angle. Left corner three for Desmond Bane. Previously with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Pippen drives, kicks to the top, Kennard. Straightaway three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. That sweet stroke from Luke Kennard. And you heard the crowd say Luke. And it is all Grizzlies. 34-15 with 30 seconds remaining in the first. Laravia with 10 on the game clock. Gives for Clark. Back to Pippen. 7 on the game clock. Pippen on the logo. Got to make a move here. Pippen down to 4. 3. Pippen working on Waters in the lane. Hangs. Kicks to Aldama. Sideline. 3 at the buzzer. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. 37-15. The Grizzlies are sending a message to the Golden State Warriors in Memphis tonight. Curry trying to throw a no-look to Jackson Davis. Intercepted by Kennard. Kennard read it beautifully as Curry drove and passed on the shot. Jackson on the right wing in transition. Kicks to the right sideline. Laravia hoists the three. Ring it up. Put three on the board for the Grizz, who now lead 42-17.
Hey, you just got to keep the foot on these guys' necks because you know they're going to make a run, but you got to
put them away
when you can.
Nope, they did not that time.
Morant on the left wing, picked up by Pajemski, the second-year pro out of Santa Clara. Morant spins in the lane, hangs, jumps it to Laravia. Another three try. Same result. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Laravia with back-to-back triples, and the Grizzlies continue to pound away from the second unit. Laravia with 8, and the Grizzlies lead 45-17. Rebounded by Aldama. 4-on-4 situation here. Pippen in transition. Left wing Aldama hoists the three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Good push by Pippen. And the drop-off for Aldama. Grizzlies by 25.
All right,
58-33. Aldama gets the three. And the Grizzlies leading by 25 with 3:51 remaining. Timeout, Golden State.
Aldama was unbelievable. 5 of 10 from 3, 21 points, 14 rebounds. Had a double-double in the first half. But you also heard Jake Laravia, who was 4 of 5 from 3. Luke Kennard, who was 5 of 7 from 3. Again, Grizzlies overall 27 of 48. That's a, let me do the math here in my head, 56.2% nice. From 3. Everyone who played but Brandon Clark hit a 3, and he did some other stuff. But by the way, you were mentioning the moment, and this may have been it, when Aldama is just dominating inside. It's not a 3, but this was sweet.
Here's Schroeder, drops it off for a cutting Draymond Green. Green's left-hand layup is no good. He screams for a foul. The rebound grabbed by Aldama. Aldama into the front court, gives for Bane. Bane drives at Green with those three fouls. Kicks for Pippen, right sideline three, no good. Aldama pokes it home with a right-hand follow jam.
I can't believe this, Jeffrey. I'm looking at the rest of the highlights. They're all Aldama threes.
Right.
Here's they're Schroeder, literally, they're up. All threes. Wait, hold on. Wait one second here. And then we'll play them in a minute. We'll just play them right through. Notable, though. The Grizzlies win by 51. They had one player, Santi, who scored 20 points or more.
It's called a team effort, Jeff.
Jaren had 17. Dez had 15. Morant had 9. Goes out with the injury and happily looked okay. Right? Are we going to say?
Fingers crossed.
What did you think in the moment? And it is interesting that that's what it's driving up in the air, driving.
So I was hoping in real time, this is Ja being dramatic. And then when you see the replay, you're like, he does have a hip.
Definitely hurt.
Yeah.
Definitely hurt. He was 1 of 5 from 3. Here's the point. You didn't need him. And honestly, he was tremendous defensively with the block. And he was absolutely locked in defensively, almost more impressive because of that. Any other stats? Let's see. First time that Draymond and Steph have played in a game together without any field goals.
I hate that for them.
I think
my favorite stat is, like, at what point, if you are someone that spent money to come and watch Steph and watch your beloved Warriors, at what point did you realize, like, oh, this is going to be a horrible night?
Well, it is interesting. Like, you heard, you know, even in the broadcast, they're saying, just keep the foot on their neck because they're going to make a run, right? Like, you do. And I was listening to Pete and Brevin, and they're like, well, you know, falling behind early, if you're going to have a big, you know, the early deficit is...
Yeah, you have the most time to make it up.
And honestly, when Ja got hurt, Claire was like, why is he still in? And I said, well, because it's the NBA. Like, you can lose it.
You can erase a 20-point deficit fairly quickly.
But it was pretty clear. Like, Taylor Jenkins didn't say anything about, let's send a message.
They did.
Publicly, but he said it privately.
They didn't have to say it.
And he also did say it privately. They just didn't go on it. They didn't share what he said exactly.
Well, he doesn't have a podcast.
But you think he didn't? Of course he did. And so this wasn't one where they were going to go up by 20 and then lose focus.
Yeah.
This was not one where they were going to
see how many they could get.
They were going to see how many they could get. Obviously, 51 is the biggest deficit in the NFL, the biggest whoop-ass,
NBA.
Biggest can of whoop-ass in the NBA this season. And I'll let you just revel in the rest of these threes. It's, and here we go.
Aldama, a right wing three. Bring it up. Put three on the board. The first half belongs to Santi Aldama. 6 of 10 from the field, 16 points, 8 rebounds. He is bouncing back in a big way. To protect the rim beautifully. Laravia, left wing three, back the other way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. The Grizzlies right now are just beating the Warriors up and down the floor. They're more physical. They're faster. And they are shooting the lights out here early on. 12 of 24 from three for the Grizz in the first half. Bane to the right side for Jackson. Drives. Drops for Edie, right block. Working on Looney. Edie into the paint. Kicks it out. Bane. Wide open straight away. Three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. It is a 77-38 Grizzly lead on an 8-0 run to open the third quarter.
Yeah. The Warriors are ready to pack it in, man. They're ready to go to Minnesota for their next game on Saturday.
That's it.
I hate that for them.
Hate that for them.
Drive home safely.
This is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Curry into the lane for Looney. Looney back to Curry. Curry fires a straightaway three. It's short. Rebounded by Zach Edey. Edey with his fourth rebound of the game. He's got 3 points as well. Jackson drops for Edey. Straightaway three for the big man. Ring it up. Put three on the board.
That one was sweet.
7-foot-4 coming
that
at you from 23 feet out.
Players hit a three. Just unbelievable.
Wells on the left sideline fires a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. The free throws were good for Andrew Wiggins. And the Grizzlies come right back down and push the lead to 87-45, a 42-point Grizzly lead. Remember, the Grizzlies have the all-time record for biggest blowout over Oklahoma City here a couple of years ago. Inbounds comes for Bane. Bane catches on the left sideline. Out to the top for Jaren Jackson. Wide open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Great spacing again by the Grizzlies, who notched their 23rd assist as a team and hit their 17th three of the ball game. 90-47. Kuminga right side, drives it into Clark, tries a left-handed jam and can't get it. Wells pokes the rebound away from Anderson. Here come the Grizzlies. 5-on-3 as Kuminga's complaining about the call. Jackson to the left corner, Bane. For the trailer, Wells. Left wing three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. A 52-point Grizzly lead. Jalen Wells with a transition triple. Taking it to the Warriors, but they turn it over out of the timeout. Lob to the baseline, intercepted by Kyle Anderson. Gives for Lindy Waters. Lindy Waters into the lane, misses the left-handed finger roll. Grizzlies with substitutions. Aldama, Laravia, and Kennard, along with Conchar into the game. Conchar, right corner three, ring it up. Put three on the board as the Grizzlies go back up. 107-56. Clark, Aldama, Laravia, Kennard, and Conchar have been absolutely lights out as the Warriors press up to open the fourth. Conchar gets it in the front court. Left sideline three is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Laravia broke the press.
I didn't stop
gave it up
watching.
For Conchar.
Absolutely not.
59.
No. Well, I was worried whether or not they're going about 50.
Yeah, that was key.
3-on-1 jailbreak for the Grizzlies. Here's Conchar in transition. Lost the handle, got it back. Warriors retreat. They find Aldama. Wide open sideline left three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. And Santi Aldama has 19. The Grizzlies are pouring it on. 120-66.
But they didn't stop there.
Aldama
to the top for Laravia. Straight away three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. 123-66.
Who hasn't gotten a three yet? Who hasn't gotten a three? Let's see. Who needs a three?
Kim Spencer has an
interview in the chat. Cam has an interview.
9 minutes remain in the ball game. Can't connect there, and it's a turnover. Cam Spencer brings it into the front court. Nobody stops the rookie, and he buries a right wing three. That is a mistake. If you leave Cam Spencer open, he can shoot the leather off the ball, is how he played his way through Loyola and all the way over to UConn to win a national title last season. His record for threes made in the game is 25. They have 23. Kennard tries the left sideline one. Make it 24. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Luke Kennard with the triple. 131-75. Cross court feed. Kennard after the 3-point play is completed by Drace Jackson. Davis gives up top for Kennard. Kennard, a straightaway three. Kennard gave it to Conchar, got it back. Ring it up, put three on the board as the Grizzlies connect again from long range. 136-83. Kennard getting into a rhythm here. Laravia to the right sideline on the wing for Kennard. Ring it up, put three on the board. There's the franchise record. 26th three made tonight, 141-88. Luke Kennard with a big ball game off the bench tonight. Kuminga into the lane, loses the handle, whistle and a foul. Kuminga misses both foul shots. To the baseline, Kennard feeds for Edey. Edey to Conchar, right wing three, too strong. Rebound, knock to Edey, out to Kennard, straightaway three. Ring it up, put three on the board. 144-88, a new season high in points. A 56-point Grizzly lead.
And held on, Jeffrey, to win by
again. I was
50.
Worried. I was worried in like that last 2 minutes they weren't going to win by 50.
It is interesting. Which was of the more of the defeats that were meted out last night in the NBA? Which more humiliating, that by the Warriors or Minnesota losing to the Knicks in Karl-Anthony Towns' return game, 133-107? With Cat going for 32-20, which would be more demoralizing? It's very clear this one was more humiliating, right? This one was more humiliating.
Yeah, I guess in a certain way, like if you're the Warriors, you can at least throw that one in the trash. Like you can just sit there and go like that. Like yes, that's a horrible.
It doesn't really in the end matter if you lose by 8 or 51.
Like it's gonna set you back in like point margin for the rest of the year. But like to a certain degree, like who cares?
The other one's more demoralizing a little bit.
I think you I think at a certain like level, you have to sit there and go, like, we did this to ourselves. You're the Warriors. Because, like, you can do this whole, we don't care about Memphis, we don't care about Memphis, yet you talk about them all the,
all the time.
And clearly, you poked the bear.
And here's the other thing. You're old.
Yes.
I mean, you just are. You're old.
Well, and it's unclear that you're that good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's...
I mean, you made a move for a reason.
So, anyway, that was fun. That was fun. We'll talk to Jason Smith about the Penny Hardaway stuff, about Penny Hardaway interview yesterday. We'll do that in the next segment. I was struck in the interview, and Penny was great. He's always great. When he talks, he's always interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even when he was being defensive on the podcast this summer, he was interesting. Like,
well, it's a look into his viewpoint.
Yeah, and he says what he thinks, right?
What he feels, maybe.
It was interesting yesterday. And it was a revealing, terrific interview. One of the things he said was, when putting this team together, we called and checked into the character of the players. You know, what is this? It's astounding he hadn't done it before. Honestly, like, why would you? Like he said, we didn't used to. We used to just collect talent. I do think it's kind of astonishing that you wouldn't have done that previously. You know, you wouldn't have thought about chemistry. But in the end, like a lot of things, like Penny has talked about the growth that he has gone through as a coach, and like maybe the AAU stuff was part of it. Like the fact that when he operated Team Penny, right? He
sure
did grab the best talent. Right?
Yeah.
You just grab the best talent. And then the other thing is how open he is about talking about the things he's done wrong. Like he has no, he has, whatever it has been, he's dropped the need to be self-justifying with what he's, you know, instead it's like, I screwed this up before. And now he talks about this team. And he also said that he worried a little bit about P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter and how it would go, right? And that he credited, in particular, Tyrese Hunter for taking the lead and making sure that worked. And I'll say this. You wouldn't naturally assume it would work. It's not like one of them is a guy who works perfectly off the ball and one of them is a gunner, right?
Yeah.
These guys play kind of interchangeable roles.
They're both ball dominant.
So it is to their credit.
They're making it work.
That they make it work. And I think I don't know. I do believe in it.
Yeah, I do.
Let me ask you this. What's your level of confidence of going to the tournament? Which, by the way, when the year began, that was our pass-fail.
8.7.
I think I'm pretty damn confident they're going to the tournament.
Because
some of it's the conference.
Like, listen, do I think they're going to absolutely walk through conference play and roll? No, I don't. Because
they'll lose games because
right.
You do lose games.
Right. And I do
Arkansas
think...
Arkansas State happened,
yes.
Right? And that Arkansas State happened, and it didn't just... And that wasn't like a team getting blazing hot.
No. That was
just... So you can have... That was just a dud of a game.
Correct.
And then you can have other games where a team does get blazing hot.
The problem is I don't think there's someone else that can take advantage of that.
No. The only question is this. Is that... Will they do well enough in these next two games and then in the conference play that when they enter the conference tournament,
yeah,
when anything can happen,
that it doesn't matter,
that it won't matter,
and
that is the question. Will they be?
My suspicion is yes. Now, I do not think they're going to blow the conference. I don't think they're going to blow the regular season conference play out of the water to where you're sitting there going, all right, they're a four seed.
No, I mean honestly, if they can win these next two home games,
yeah,
and they will be favored now, won't they?
Slight favorites, yeah.
Yeah, they will be if they could win these next two home games.
Likely,
they can afford to lose. How many? I mean, again, it's a who knows. Like,
are we talking about just to be in the tournament?
Just to be safe, even if you get knocked out
probably
early in the
four
conference
or five.
Tournament. I think so.
I mean, the problem is, it's like
you could lose.
Like which ones? Like,
right.
Are you losing?
Right.
Like, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. Rice lost to an NAIA team yesterday. Something called,
by the way,
the University
Rice,
of North Texas
who beat
Dallas
Arkansas State.
Correct.
That's what I mean. It actually goes back to Memphis football. It's why when people say all he did was beat teams he's supposed to beat, all the time, every night in sports, teams lose to teams they're not supposed to lose to. And the Memphis Tiger basketball team, when it gets into conference, will lose teams to lose teams.
I mean, it's going to be teams that they
I think they'll be able to lose four. Now, right. they, let's hope they don't, because what you're actually hoping for, it is interesting. Because of the way that the previous years had gone, I wouldn't have imagined that I was, before this season, I'd be setting the bar for Memphis basketball and just making the tournament, right? But the previous years have lowered the bar for Memphis basketball.
Sometimes, like, this is like the classic, you need to see the ball go through the net. Like,
right.
It was just kind of like, I agree that there was a lowering of the standard. But at the same time, it's like, let's just get a bucket here.
That's not, yeah, right. And so that, but now that they're clearly on the path to make the tournament, now the where the bar is, not the bar, but the aspirations very clearly are,
the hope.
Okay, let's finally get a seed that makes it possible for you to advance to the second weekend. Right,
sure.
I mean, that's the new, and
I would also just say, let's finally have a conference season where we're not sitting
okay,
there
so
going
you said,
like,
"What was your level of confidence out of 10? Your level of confidence that they're going to make it was 8.75. What was it?
8.7.
8.7. I added the 5. What's your level? What would you
just wanted to round
would you wager yes or no that they will be a top 6 seed?
Top 6. All right. So,
would you project? Obviously, this.
I mean,
year
I need to see
be.
The math. Like, I need to see the numbers. Like, are you offering? It's yes, no, but like, is any side juiced? Is it just straight up?
No, it's just you get that. You there's no side. There's nothing. I'm going to give you $100 if
that
you
means
can
they
get
lose
this right.
Three games as a favorite. I think I'll take it. I think I'll say yes.
I think they are likely to be.
I think the league is god awful,
and they are more likely than not. And whatever, even if they split these next two, they've put together. I mean, this is kind of amazing, is that between them, Duke, Louisville, UNC, NC State, Syracuse, and Virginia, right?
Yep.
That's like the brands of the ACC. Duke, Louisville, North Carolina, NC State, Syracuse, and Virginia. Between them, they have 5 quad one wins.
And
Memphis
Duke
has 4.
Duke has
3 of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure Duke has most
and the other ones have. And
now the problem is
they're going to play each other and
right.
They're going to get started accumulating.
And the bigger problem is Memphis is likely to have Saturday and next Saturday will count as quad one games,
and that's it.
Literally it.
Yeah, that's it. All right, we're going to take a break and then we will talk to Jason Smith. That was so much fun last night. Ah. Oh. That was glorious. If you are, this is the perfect weekend to go to O'Call, honestly. Because you're not like, it's not like day before Christmas shopping where you're just racing around, right? Just like in your car going.
That's when I feel it.
It's still relaxed enough that you can enjoy the experience. You gotta have a plan. You gotta have a plan. You gotta have your head in the game. But you don't have to be absolutely frantic. And so you can still enjoy the magical shopping experience of shopping at O'Call. You can still enjoy the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, knowing, by the way, that anything you buy there is going to thrill someone, including a gift card, by the way. But whatever. The outerwear, sweaters, beautiful quarter zip. I can't tell you. I love the place, and my kids do, and I have bought many a Christmas gift from there. Nothing's ever been returned, or exchanged. The stuff is absolutely beautiful. The people are the secret sauce, and they've got the beautiful complimentary wrapping there. Plus, if alterations are needed, the people who do the alterations are right there on site. It's like going to the North Pole, except you get to pick out exactly what you want. It's unbelievable. And so make sure that this weekend, your holiday weekend, you get yourself 2-0 call. Jason Smith coming up next, then Chris Harrington, and then Jeffrey will pick the playoff games. The historic first weekend.
He might even throw some bowl games in there, too.
He may even throw some bowl games in there, too. We'll do that coming up. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a very happy Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 till 2. Yesterday, Penny Hardaway joined their show. Tomorrow, Memphis plays Mississippi State. Tip is at 11:30. Get yourself to FedEx Forum. It's going to be on CBS, but you want to be there in the building and reward the team for the stunning way they have come out and played to start this season. Jason, what was the most striking thing that Penny said, did you believe?
The most striking thing.
The most interesting thing. Yep.
Well, I don't know. I think just overall, I think the takeaway is sort of how ready Penny is now, seemingly different than he was a few months ago, to say, I got it wrong, I've learned a lot, and now here's the way I'm going to approach it, right? And this too, because we talked about it with Ryan Silverfield, to set aside anything he's feeling, whether it's towards the media or fans. Ryan, I mean, we talk about Ryan Silverfield and the lack of promotion. Just put it from this way. You know, Penny we know was feeling a certain way towards me and fans just a few months ago. I think yesterday was evidence, Jeff. If I had a take, it'd be that. It was evidence that even if Penny was feeling one way but saying differently, because obviously what he said, he apologized for the comments, said I said the wrong things. But even if he was still feeling a way towards Memphis media or fans or whatever else, there he was yesterday putting the program first, right? Because when I went to him Monday and asked him to come on the show at his coach's show, I said, hey, man, you want to come on and promote Saturday? You want to talk about how badly you need a crowd, how badly this team has earned it, quite frankly? And his immediate answer was yes. And so there's a coach who, yes, it might be. And, Jeff, what are we talking about here? Every coach in, you know, that we've covered, at some point, right? You talk about it all the time. Cal, I mean, I think you said he hated you. I mean, y'all had your back and forths, right? So some coaches take this stuff personal. Some don't. Some decide, you know what? It's so personal. I don't care about promoting my program on those shows or those platforms or in his column anymore. And then some don't change until they move on. For Josh Pastor, he's talked about, hey, we wrote the article about Shaq Goodwin at the end of it. I'm the beat writer. Shaq Goodwin says, I didn't have a relationship really with Josh over 4 years. Josh took that personally. He didn't talk to me for a very long time. He thought that was a personal shot at him by the beat writer of the CA rather than someone who was
writing a story that, frankly, was reflective of the program and more so the relationships that he did or didn't have with his players. And so back to the point, we've seen this with all kinds of coaches. And so for Penny to say, I'm setting that stuff to the side if I'm still feeling it, I kind of get the feeling that this is genuine, like he really has turned over a new leaf. Control the controllables, man. Media's going to love you when you win. They're going to hate you when you lose. Same thing with the fans. But for him to say, no, nah, man, I'm coming on their show because I'm coming on to promote the program, that's exactly what we've criticized Ryan Summerfield for not doing. And so I give Penny all the credit in the world for, again, putting personal feelings to the side, if there are still any, and putting program first, because that's what the Memphis coach in whatever your sport is over there should always do. And so that I got all the respect in the world for the appearance yesterday and for the fact that this wasn't just a guy, let's be real, Jeff, who was taking us through the motions. He was open, candid, and we got 25 minutes on a day where he's got a toy drive and a practice at 2. I mean, I, again, very appreciative of his time and his openness and his willingness to put the program first and do what's important, which is try to get butts in seats on Saturday for this team.
It is interesting you mentioned that. Like, I always thought basically Cal hated me because he needed to hate someone. Like, Cal thrived off of enemies. But
we can go through them all.
But it is interesting. It's interesting that he never, like, I could always go to any practice. He still had me, like, he did a roast, and I spoke at his roast. You know what I mean? Like, in the end, and back then the CA was a much bigger megaphone than any paper is now, right? But in the same way, like, John was all about promoting that program. And I'm interested. So you just decided you're going to go Monday and make this request directly? Is that how you decided
Yes. After my son's game with my wife in the car, we went up to Brookhaven. And as I said on the show earlier in the week when we talked about, I'm hoping to have him on. You know, it had been suggested to me, well, listen, man, maybe, ask him face-to-face. And frankly, with my platform, right, and how much just a week ago I'm criticizing Penny Hardaway just as much as I am player effort for what he did early in that Arkansas State game in terms of trying to put a combo of guys.
Yes, you did.
Yes, at a time where, again, most of the criticism was of the players. And so I said, you know what? If I can, and again, John made the same point, if we can criticize Penny from our platform, right, sitting in our cold studio, but in the security of our studio, maybe what I should do is go see Penny. Because you know me, I mean, I'm not at games anymore. I've totally set that to the side. I'm not the beat writer anymore, but I can opine from afar. But maybe, yes, if I can criticize Penny from the security of my studio, I should go to him face-to-face. So if he is feeling anything personal, I can make sure he understands that, Penny, I've got a job to do, but also you do too, buddy. And I've got a platform right now at a time where, let's be real, we've got listeners at 92.9, but more importantly, forget the platform. This is a time where you can talk to your fans and tell them how badly you need them on Saturday. Again, here's a guy that face to face says, yeah, man, maybe, you know, in his mind, maybe you and John have criticized me. I don't care. And come on your show, and who knew? I mean, who knew at that point I'm going to get 25 minutes out of the guy? So went face to face just so there could be no misunderstanding. Oh, Jason's the guy that criticized me but won't come down here and say it to my face. And I give Penny all the credit in the world. Again, here's a guy that said, I'm going to do it. And again, Jeff, I would tell you, I'm not sensing any resentment. I would tell you that this is a Penny who gets it now. And I have done this. I've tied it to how supported he must be feeling now. And listen, here's the thing about tying it to them. Yeah, they've poured into him. They've made him comfortable in a way that perhaps he hasn't been. But as it's been pointed out to me since I've been saying that by some folks, Penny has done the work. Penny has turned the page. And so ultimately, that credit, seemingly again, I mean, the times are good right now. But ultimately, feels like he has, and ultimately that's a good thing for the program. And so he's the one that deserves the credit.
Well, I do hope that that folks turn out tomorrow. I was interested hearing you guys talk about it. John at one point said, I think they're going to have a sellout, or I hope they're going to. And I'm like,
they're not. John dreams big. You know,
in the new world, if you could actually get 12,000 butts in seats.
I said 13 plus, so yeah. You and I are along the same line.
That's
I want
good.
Butts in seats. That's good. I mean, I think that's around what it was, maybe a little bit less for Clemson, and Brownell still talked about how that atmosphere last year bothered them. And so, again, you don't have to have 18 anymore, especially in college basketball now. Let's not, again, we have to continue to make this a, not just a Memphis thing, although we acknowledge there are attendance issues. No, man, I mean, look, 12,000 butts in seats we know now, even on CBS Sports tomorrow morning. That'll look good, especially in that lower bowl. And more importantly, it'll create the kind of atmosphere that those players have spent the last 2 days on social media begging. It's not just Penny, essentially. The players are saying, please come down too. We need that atmosphere. It makes a difference. And you've had coaches saying it. And so hopefully they get that. They've earned it. And if nothing else, yeah, Jeff, go down there, because what you don't want is a game at the end on CBS where you're hearing Mississippi State fans, it sounded like a home game at the end of that thing, like it did at Arkansas State. No, go fill it up. And then yesterday it sounded like they had a, you know, they got a bump. And again, I would salute Penny on that. That's how it's supposed to work.
I mean, yeah, I think people don't understand what's happened in attendance in college basketball. Like Cameron Indoor, great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's 9,300. Like that's what it is in college right. basketball. If you can get 12,000-13,000 people
got
in a
atmosphere.
Building, it'll be cranking. Jeffrey is about to contribute to
so,
this conversation.
I looked up the commercial appeal story. The Clemson game last year was the high mark, 10,587.
I thought it was less than the 12 or 12 Jeff's asking for.
If
the
they
13
get
thir-
Jason,
for.
They get 13, I think it's a hell of a day.
It's a hell.
You're gonna have a fat 1,500, 2,000 Mississippi State fans. I would think they're good. They're ranked in the coaches poll. They're 26th in the AP. This is a good Mississippi State team. At the least 1,000. I mean, you're gonna have some of that too. But man, I mean, we had folks that said. We had one, Frederick Pratcher, that said, I listened to this interview and I'm driving to go pick up two tickets. From inside, again, I got word that they had a nice bump. I'm not telling you it's some huge thousands of, you know, there was a rush to the ticket office, but I think the sort of bat signal that Penny sent out yesterday was heard. And obviously too, I think folks are starting to separate last year from this year. And again, you won't be able to do that fully until they're taking care of business in the AAC. But I do think what they proved on the court has also, you know, gotten us to this point now where folks are more willing. Hopefully they'll get it, and it'll be something that for the folks watching, the national folks watching, they'll say, wow, yeah, Memphis is rolling, and look at that crowd.
Thanks, Jason. It was great interview. Appreciate
you,
it as a listener. Thanks very much.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
take care,
and
guys.
Merry Christmas to you. That is Jason Smith. Oh, yeah. This is Stas, Jason's last appearance on this. I'm going to tear up here of 2024. He'll be back in 2025. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington on the other side about the Memphis Grizzlies and their wildly entertaining night last night.
What happened?
Yeah, it was good. I'll tell you about it on the other side. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.